Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Hello, Coastal Carolina, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. I'm your host, Rick Hopkins, and I want to thank you for joining us this morning or this evening, whichever it might be. Again, I'll remind you that we air every Sunday morning at 11 and every Sunday evening at 8, except during football season.
Oh, yes, you're right.
And now that we're in football season, we air at 9 p.m. So that's our schedule. Again, we are Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association. We are nonpartisan, nonprofit, 501c3. We are a conservative group. We value our Constitution, and we try to help educate people on the Constitution. We do a lot of things to help the candidates with the Constitution, like we vet them and ask them questions. And if they don't know what the Constitution is, we try to introduce them to it. So we have monthly meetings, third Tuesday of every month. Those are public meetings that are open to the public, and they're free. They're held in downtown New Bern at Stanley Hall Ballroom. And we have some pretty good speakers that we bring in from, well, we can say worldwide, because we've had a couple come in from out of the country. And we have them on various topics, but all concerning our constitutional principles and conservative values. So we hope you'll come and visit us at one of our meetings. For those that haven't been with us before, we have our regulars here, and that's Bob and Mary Griswold.
Hello, hello.
Diane Ruffino's not with us this evening because she's in Washington, D.C., and we have Howe and Rainer James.
Good evening. Hey, Rick.
Or good morning, as the case may be.
And this being election season, this being also Wednesday, October the 17th, that we're recording this show, early voting started today here in Craven County. And there are maybe some new or some confusing changes, especially because of the hurricane and displacement and some of the polls having to be moved and all. So we have Director of Elections here in Craven County, Melanie Ray, is
Hello.
With us. And Melanie, tell us a little bit about some of the changes that people really need to know about now because of the hurricane.
Okay, we are asking those individuals that have been displaced from their residence addresses to use their pre-hurricane residence address for their voting purposes, to try to go back to those precincts on Election Day. But if they vote in early voting, they just have to state that residence address as their residence. It's the intention or the assumption that they're just temporarily displaced and will return to their home of record, their residence, later. Now, if someone has moved permanently to another state or another county or an address permanently, then by all means, if they've lived there 30 days or more, then they can change to that address. But the best advice is just use your pre-hurricane address for your voting purposes.
Okay, and the locations that are open for voting?
For early voting, we have four locations, and you can go to either one of the locations. We have the Board of Elections office at 406 Craven. We have Cove City Fire Department. We have Vanceboro Fire Department, and then in Havelock, we are at the New Beginnings Ministry of Faith building on 30 Park Lane.
Okay, and I know it's a little ways off now, but for the general election on November the 3rd, right?
Yes, November 6th.
I mean 6th, I'm sorry.
November 6th. We will have voters.
You passed.
November 6th. We will have voters in Havelock that used to vote, that do vote at the Tourist Center. They will need to go to New Beginnings Ministry of Faith on Election Day as well due to flooding in the Tourist Center. The voters in Bryce's Creek Precinct Number 21 that used to vote, that do vote at the Number 7 Fire Department substation, those voters will need to go to New Song Church on West Grantham Road, which is our Number 23 Grantham 2B precinct, and then N5, which is Glen Burnie Park at the National Guard Armory, they will need to go to H.J. McDonald Middle School gym to vote on Election Day. But these voters did receive nice colored cards, which told them it was an emergency transfer due to the hurricane. Mm-hmm. And it also advised them of the three opportunities to vote in North Carolina: by mail, early voting, or Election Day, and the times and locations.
Wow. That's a lot of good information.
Yes.
All right. Well, we're going to take a quick break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, Melanie will be explaining some of the other changes to us.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features delicious handmade Italian dishes like lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. And now Panicelli's has home delivery. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. So today, head to River Bend, and Panicelli's is at 40 Shoreline Drive, or call Panicelli's Pizzeria for home delivery.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military, just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Again, we have with us the Director of Elections. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, in Craven County, and that's Miss Melanie Ray. And Melanie, I called it early voting, but you have it listed as one-stop voting. Explain what that means.
Yeah, the actual technical name is one-stop absentee voting. It means that you're absent election day. One-stop refers to the same-day registration opportunity that people have. If they miss the Monday deadline, which was 5 p.m. October 15th, they can still register and vote. That's why it's called one-stop register and vote during early voting, but they do have to bring proof of residency and photo ID. Normally, your driver's license with your current address, that's all that you need. But if your driver's license does not have your current address, you need to bring proof of residency with you.
Okay, and now, I saw that the voter registration deadline was October 15th, which was Monday past.
Yes.
So that doesn't affect the one stop. You can still...
It doesn't. If you show up and you're not registered, you have the opportunity to register in one stop. But if you wait till election day and you're not registered, you will be offered a provisional ballot for us to research to see if you attempted to try to register.
Okay. More good information. Now, the hours that the polls are open.
Since we have four locations, they all are open the same hours. That is due to the new uniform early voting laws that were just put into place. We are open 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. weekdays, and the only Saturday we were open is the last Saturday, November 3rd, from 8 to 1.
Melanie, today was the first day of the absentee voting, early voting, and how many people got to vote today?
We had a little over 1,450 people vote at the all four locations total. Well,
wow. I happened to vote down at the county building downtown, and I got to tell you, it was a breeze. There was a line of 30, 35 people, but we got through in no time flat. I'm going to say between 10 to 12 minutes or so got through. What made that line go so much faster today?
Well, the main office is like our main office, so we're there also to give support to those people. At our main office, we are trying something a little bit differently. We are printing the ballots as the voters approach. It will be cost effective for us to do this, save some money. But that, I think that speeds it up sometimes. But then again, you know, we have great officials on all of our precincts. And I think voters were ready and knew their choices. So usually the delays are at the ballot because it's a long ballot. It's a two-sided ballot. But people seem to be able to make their choices and not linger so much in the voting booths. And I think that was part of the reason people could go in and out.
Excellent.
Well, Melanie, we talked about one-stop voting began today. When does one-stop voting end?
November 3rd at 1 p.m.
November 3rd at 1
Saturday.
p.m.
Mm-hmm. It's on a Saturday.
All right. Suppose, for some reason, that somebody doesn't get the opportunity to come in and take advantage of one-stop voting. Mm-hmm. They haven't registered, or they have registered, I mean, but they're not going to be here to be able to cast their vote at the polls. Tell us about absentee voting, how that works.
Absentee by mail, they can request their ballot to be mailed anywhere in the world. They have to fill a state absentee ballot request form out. They can get those online on our website, cravenvote.com, or in the North Carolina State Board website, ncsbe.gov. If they're military or overseas, the website is FV as in Victor, A as in Apple, P as in Paul, FVAP.gov. And they fill out a special form for the military and overseas. Those can be taken up until October 30th at the end of the day, 5 p.m., to give us time to mail the ballot. Those ballots do have to be mailed.
Okay.
Out.
And the last day to return that absentee ballot?
They have to return. All absentee ballots have to be returned by election day, 5 p.m.
Okay. Rainer, you had a question.
I'm curious as to how that 1,450 people voting the first day of early voting compares to this sort of election typically.
It is more turnout typically in Craven County on the first day in a primary. We had record numbers, I would gather. I did not get a chance to look before I came over here tonight, but we were shocked, especially at the main office, the numbers that we were seeing.
Right.
We
had so they're much higher than normal, is that
yes,
right?
Yes, okay. It's much higher than normal on the first day.
Okay.
All right. Have I overlooked anything? Is there something else you'd like to share
We
with
just
us?
Would like voters, you do have several constitutional amendments on the ballot as well, and candidates. We would hope that all voters will take their responsibility to educate themselves on the candidates and the constitutional amendments. We do have sample ballots and the amendments explanations posted at all of the sites, but you need to make sure and do all of that before you enter the voting enclosure, because we, the election officials, we cannot coach you or tell you how to vote. We can only direct you to circle color in your ovals,
right.
And if assistance is needed, we can read the ballot for you, but we cannot explain the constitutional amendments any more than what is stated. So I would think that voters do need to take responsibility to learn all laws and policies in their counties and states and educate themselves on the candidates and the constitutional amendments.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up because I'm going to take this opportunity, in case they aren't aware of it, to run down them real quick. It's not the entire text or content of the amendment, but it's a just a brief description. Number one is a constitutional amendment protecting the right of the people to hunt, fish, and harvest wildlife. Number two is a constitutional amendment to strengthen protections for victims of crime, to establish certain absolute basic rights for victims, and to ensure the enforcement of these rights. And number three is a constitutional amendment to establish a bipartisan board of ethics and elections to administer ethics and election laws, to clarify the appointment authority of the legislative and the judicial branches, and to prohibit legislators from serving on boards and commissions exercising executive or judicial authority. Number four is a constitutional amendment to implement a nonpartisan merit-based system that relies on professional qualifications instead of political influence when nominating justices and judges to be selected to fill vacancies that occur between judicial elections. And number five is a constitutional amendment to reduce the income tax rate in North Carolina to a maximum allowable rate of 7%. And finally, number six is a constitutional amendment to require voters to provide photo identification before voting in person. So those are your six constitutional amendments, and recommend you do take Melanie's advice and educate yourself further on those and any other changes that you might run into at the polls.
Rick, the one thing that I would recommend is you read the sample ballots first, because the order of the amendments has changed.
Mm-hmm.
Due to court challenges or whatever else, the order of the amendments has changed slightly.
All right. Hal.
You know, I had heard that there was a shortage of volunteers and some of them even paid positions at the polls this year, that we don't have as many observers and judges as we normally have. And it's a shame that people don't turn out to support that. And I wondered if you'd comment on that.
Yes, we're always in the need for precinct officials, and they are not volunteers. They have to be paid. We do have... But they do come from the parties. Our chief judges and judges recommended from the parties, but we need assistance as well. We would love to be able to put eight people at each polling location, but we can't do that because we can't find bodies. Our biggest areas are in the western part of the county, the Dover, Fort Barnwell, Cove City, those type of areas. So we need officials that also are willing to go outside of their home precincts to be able to cover the polls. By law, a minimum is three. We have to have a chief judge and two judges. And if my officials don't show up or something happens, we don't have enough, that may, you know, delay lines, because three people is hard to handle a crowd on election day. But then the norm or the custom now that people are doing is voting early. So it has lightened the load a little bit on election day. So that's kind of a positive as well.
Rainer?
The constitutional amendment that you mentioned about reducing the maximum tax possible from 10% to 7% has caused voters confusion. They aren't necessarily checking. The current tax on incomes in North Carolina is below that.
Right.
So 7% sounds to a lot of people like it's raising it, and they don't realize that the cap is presently at 10%. So 7% represents a reduction in maximum tax, right, that could be charged.
Yes, in the max. Mm-hmm. Okay, well, let's take another quick break to hear from our sponsors, and we'll come back and continue this conversation.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, Wellness Educator and Nutritional Consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news. Coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
And again, we have Ms. Melanie Ray with Craven County Board of Elections explaining the process and procedures for voting. Melanie, there was one other thing I wanted to ask you, and I know that Mary over here has a question she wants to ask, but there's something that, you know, I work the polls. I'm an official, and there's something that I've noticed that really irks me sometimes, and that's the curbside voting process. There are signs displayed explaining it, and I think now we're even going to be verbally explaining it to the people. But there, it seems like there's a lot of people that take advantage of that curbside voting that shouldn't be doing that. And I think they need to know, isn't that a violation of the law?
It is, and what we have found out this year, we have seen some Facebook posts and things that we've been shown and also told of, that the rumor is going around it's drive-through voting. It is not drive-through voting. This is an opportunity by law for those individuals due to age or physical disability or barriers who are not able to walk into the voting enclosure without assistance. That is what curbside is available for. We do have the law posted on a sign, and this year we are reading the law, and they have to sign a legal binding affidavit to that effect. Now, we cannot ask them if they have a disability. That is not what we do. But if they're able to sign that affidavit, we have to prepare their ballot for them in the car.
Okay. Thanks for clearing that up.
Well, you know, I have noticed that on rainy days it seems to pick up.
Well, some disabilities are worsened by bad weather. I know my back hurts worse when the
okay. I will say, for those individuals who think of it as drive-through, you are taking a place or making those wait who are truly using it for the needs that they need to be using it for.
Right, because what has to happen is a election official has to come out, get your information, then they have to go back in, run that through the computer, verify, make sure you're registered, get your ballot, bring it back out to you. That slows down the process quite a bit, and especially if you only have three officials there.
And I tell my officials that we're not in the business of fast voting. We are in the business of making sure that voters are voted correctly, fairly, and accurately. And I tell my voters, if that takes a little time to make sure the process is done correctly, then we're going to take the time to do that.
Amen.
So voters need to understand that there is a process. It's not quick in and out. It's not drive-through fast food voting. You need to take your time and use the laws correctly. And if curbside, it's due to age, which is not defined, age or physical disability or barrier, that you're not able to walk into the voting enclosure at the time you're coming to vote without assistance. So we just want voters to understand what the law is and use that to what it stands for.
Right.
But like I said, if you're able to sign the affidavit, we don't ask questions. We're okay. Not allowed to.
Melanie, also, one of the burger joints is Have It Your Way or whatever else. But I understand, and I know people have asked for, can I look at a sample ballot? And in Craven County, how many different sample ballots do we have because of districting?
We have 42s. Ballots for this election.
42 different ballots.
We have 26 precincts, so there's 26. We have one for each precinct. And the reason we do it that way is because if we did not do it ballot by precinct, we would have to do what's called a sort, where we would have to rely on our one-stop locations to write the precinct name on the ballot so we can sort them. Now we don't have to do that. So we are getting more accurate data statistics on voting by precinct. We also have several jurisdictions. You have 7 commissioner wards, commissioner districts, not wards. Mm-hmm. You have 2 house districts. So, and a boundary has to be somewhere. So we also tell people that your neighbor may be in a different precinct, a different district. So sample ballots are specifically tied to a resident's address.
And it's pretty easy to get one. You can go online and
you
on the county
website. You can go online.
Website,
you do have to click a few things, but we have the instructions on our webpage. You also can call us and we can walk you through it. You can come in our office and we can print you one. But we ask the candidates and the supporters not to hand out marked sample ballots because it might not be that voter's ballot. It causes confusion because they come in with the marked ballot and that person may not be on their ballot. So now they think that we're in error.
Right.
But the voters are given their correct ballot when they come in.
And they can go online prior to election. You can go
yes,
on there
they
now
can. Mm-hmm.
To the State Board of Elections.
Mm-hmm. Or our website, cravenvote.com.
Cravenvote.com mm-hmm. and put in your name
yes.
and address, and you can get a mm-hmm. copy of the exact ballot you will be voting
yes.
with all the candidates that are in your area mm-hmm. that's going to be on your ballot.
Mm-hmm. You know, I know we have some more questions. I think Mary mentioned what I thought was a very good question. But I just wanted to compliment Melanie and the whole staff. I've gone in several times and asked for help with this thing or that thing, you know, that I'm trying to understand, and they're just extremely helpful. Everybody in there is.
Thank
and
you.
I compliment you and the whole
yes.
staff.
Yes, we appreciate that very much. We yeah. work hard. We really do.
And yes, she runs a tight ship.
She does, but it's also a friendly ship. It's
it
not,
is.
Yes.
Well, she's passionate about her job.
I love my job.
I wanted to ask how many languages are the ballots in Craven County printed in?
We only print in English, but we can print a Spanish ballot if it is needed, but we're not required to because it is not a majority. English is the majority language in our county.
Okay. Melanie, who's eligible to vote?
Anyone that is a U.S. citizen and is 18 years of age on election day, November 6th, by mm-hmm. November 6th, or older. And lives in my county, for Craven County, they have to live in my county. That means physically live. It's your home. It's your residence. It's your home of record. It's where you lay your head the most. It's not temporary vacation home. Just because you own land in Craven County does not mean you can vote in Craven County. We will ask you, what do you consider your home of record? And here's a kind of a fun fact. If we have a house on a boundary, we physically will call that location and ask where the bedroom is.
That's where you live.
So that is what will be your district. Yeah. So that's the way that we
Melanie,
say where you lay your
head. When we were in college, we had a bedroom that the mm-hmm. city-county line ran through.
Mm-hmm.
Taxes were cheaper in the county. Guess where we lived.
Do you get down to whether it's the head of the bed or the
No,
foot
we
of the
just
bed?
Say the bedroom. We haven't had to get that specific.
I know you can register with before you're old enough to vote, and I don't remember exactly how soon. How old do you have to be to actually register to vote?
In North Carolina currently, 16 and 17-year-olds can pre-register. But we get those registrations, and they just go in a holding pattern until they turn 18. So they can pre-register.
Mm-hmm. Now, you have to vote at your assigned precinct, your assigned polling place. We run into a lot of times people have moved. How long do they have to live in
the... It's 30 days or more. So basically before October the 7th, that's 30 days before the election. If you were somewhere before October 7th, then yes, you use that location or change your address. But if you have people coming into our county or you move after October 7th, you have to go to your old address. You legally cannot vote in North Carolina where you're living if you haven't been here 30 days or more. Now, right. Everyone has a right to vote. If they want to vote, they will be offered a provisional ballot.
Okay, and explain how a provisional ballot works.
Provisional ballots are ballots that we research. It's the not perfect scenario voter with the name, address is correct. It's those that have problems that we may not find them in the roll, we may not find their address, those type situations, or they had to provide ID the first time they voted because we didn't have that information when they registered. There's ballots that are researched, and they vote a provisional ballot is what we call it. It goes into a sealed envelope at the precinct, and then our board determines whether or not those ballots will count.
Now, you say your board. Your board consists of what, four members?
Our board is a four-member board currently, two Republicans and two Democrats.
And they're the ones that will make the decision on
yes,
whether
yes, and that is a public meeting.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Hal?
The place that I've worked today is a campaigner, not a poll worker, but it was awfully quiet and smooth, and everybody was friendly with each other. And I know sometimes in the past there have been some complaints. I doubt if there was a complaint today at all. Was there or not?
I mean, we sometimes get people who ask questions or need clarification on things. The most that I heard, we probably the only complaint was someone not understanding assistance in the curbside. Uh-huh. Basically, as far as voter assistance is concerned, if you're a near relative, you can assist your near relative for mm-hmm. any reason. But sometimes in the cars, they also have the same rules that if they're inside as well. So if they ask for someone in the car to help them, as long as it's not their employer or a union rep or someone representing their employer, or if nursing facilities bring them, the nursing facility workers cannot assist people. They can have that assistance. Basically, we err on the side of the voter that if that's who the voter wants to assist them, we usually grant it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm sure that it would be very helpful to you, and so I'm going to urge people to please keep your voter registration updated. If you do move, please let the County Board of Elections know your new address. There's a form to fill out, right?
There is, but if you go to the DMV, they are to offer you the opportunity to update your voter registration or register to vote, but you do have to sign it. It is not automatic, and that is a big myth and understanding that we get a lot of times. It is not automatic. They still have to sign a form. So remember that if you go to the DMV. But it is best for voters to update their addresses. If they can think, update DMV, update Board of Elections at the same time, because it is so much smoother if you don't have to change an address or your name or anything at the polls or early voting, that you've already done it, we've taken care of it. You state your name and address, get your ATV, go to the ballot station, get your ballot, vote it, and put it in the machine.
But they can go to the Board of Elections to update it, right?
They can.
Because usually the lines are shorter there than they are at
DMV. They had to have changed that in person to us by Monday, October 15th, but again, then they have the opportunity to do that at early voting, and they can do that on election day as well. They just can't register.
And it's not just change of address. Also, your name may change. Or,
correct.
Yeah. Any correct. Changes at all that would affect your voter registration.
Correct.
Don't wait till election day to
right.
take care
correct.
Of it.
Correct.
You know, on election night, the evening after the election closed, you know, I've sat around with groups and offices and places and watch television until the returns come in. And it's been pretty amazing to me is how fast they come in. Could you tell us how that's accomplished?
In Craven County, so we can get our results faster because the candidates and supporters and the news media are wanting to know results as quickly as possible. And they're unofficial results, of course. results, of course. But we have a runner that as soon as the polls close, we have someone from that precinct bring us the results and the flash drive from the voting machine to bring to us so we can start uploading those results into the election night reporting. And we are paper ballots in Craven County. Our machines that you put your ballot in are not hooked to the internet at all. So there's no compromise there. All and right. We have procedures with flash drives and things. They are on flash drives. But we have runners coming to us so we can get those results uploaded as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, we'll talk a little bit more about that when we come back from this break.
In a time when personal responsibility is being mocked and minimized, who's really responsible for your safety and security? Who's really readily available to provide protection for you and your loved ones? Law enforcement is not always going to be there when you need that safety most. Are you prepared to keep you and your family safe and secure? I'm Randy Seiler, owner and instructor for Responsible Security, LLC, and I invite you to be that person, to be the responsible one. Contact me at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com so you can be better trained, safer, more secure, responsible. At Responsible Security, LLC, I provide personal firearms and security training for a variety of skill levels. Currently, classes are available for obtaining a North Carolina concealed carry handgun permit and for advancing your personal firearms skills.
To find the date of our next class, visit our website at ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com.
Remember, your safety and security depends on you first. Visit ResponsibleSecurityLLC.com to learn more and sign up for a class so you can be better prepared to meet your responsibilities.
Baldwin's Transmissions and Auto Repair is the transmission physician in the New Bern area. If you're experiencing transmission problems, call or stop by the shop on Highway 17 South in New Bern. Baldwin will give you the options. They can install a new or reconditioned transmission, or they'll rebuild your existing transmission if that's what you prefer. Baldwin also does a variety of minor auto repairs like brakes, tune-ups, and water pumps. Count on Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair, your transmission physician, Highway 17 South in New Bern. Everyone loves fresh seafood, and Redfish Seafood Market on Highway 55 East in Grantsboro has all your favorites, like shrimp, scallops, and salmon, and plenty of fresh fish in season. Come for our own soft-shell crabs, pecan wood smoked sausage and salmon, and our very own boiled peanuts. Load up on seafood seasoning, flavorful breading, and sausage from the Redfish Seafood Market, Thursday through Saturday, 10 a.m. till 6 p.m., Highway 55 East in Grantsboro, across from the Dollar Tree.
Moore's Old Time Barbecue is slow cooked and smoked over hickory in the tradition established by Tommy and David Moore's parents over 70 years ago. Moore's also serves fried chicken, cooked order seafood, and homemade side dishes. Open 7 days a week at our three locations in New Bern, Winterville, and Moorhead City. We also cater and deliver to your home, workplace, church, or school, anywhere you want your truly traditional barbecue and fixings delivered. And remember, if it's not Moore's, it's less.
For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, where we're talking to Craven County Director of Elections, Melanie Ray. And Melanie, before we went to break, you explained the process of how you get the election results turned in so you can get them on the air so people know what's going on. And you mentioned that we are on paper ballots. So a lot of people are concerned because they hear all this babble out there on mainstream media about hacking the election. Let's go into the technical details. Number one, They're on paper ballots. You indicated we're not hooked to the internet. So these machines are standalone. They're not connected to anything. The machine that your paper ballot goes into to be read, the only thing it's connected to is the power line.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
Right. So it does its tally internally. And all that information is stored on a flash drive. Now, when the polls are closed, you have a chief judge and two assistant judges, and all three of them have to be present when that machine is unlocked and opened.
Any time during the day.
Right. Mm-hmm. And there's the shutdown procedure you go through, and then that flash drive is removed. Mm-hmm. Once it's removed, it's immediately put into a bag that has a lock on it, and it is locked.
Yes. The first print of the results is in there, too, and the zero results, yes.
So you have the flash drive, and you have a printout from with all the information about the votes that were cast. That locked bag is then given to a runner who brings it to the election office, and you unlock the bag and remove the flash.
I'm in my office with at least one board member looking at what we're doing, and we take the flash drive out of the red, we call it the red bag because it happens to be red. We take the flash drive out of the red bag and we enter it into what we call Unity Computer, which is in my office, and it is standalone. It is not hooked to the internet. The printer is standalone. It is a standalone computer. And my board member, we verify to the result tape that the number that is uploading is ballots cast, obviously. And we upload it into Unity. Our new procedures, due to security reasons with the state board, that any time I go from my Unity computer to my main computer on my desk to upload into the internal website for the state board of elections, any time I go from one to the other, I have to put it on a brand new flash drive. So those are the new procedures. In my county, I used to keep everything on one just for filing purposes, but now the first thing that's uploaded are the absentee by mail and one stops that have been counted up to that time. So that will be on a separate flash drive going from Unity to my main computer, which is internet connected. Then when the precincts start rolling in, I usually like to do about five or six precincts at a time. I will put in a new flash drive, download it to that, then go back to my internet connected computer. Then the next six be on a different flash drive. And we will keep those flash drives in a sealed envelope and labeled for at least 22 months.
Okay.
And can never reuse them.
You did say 22 months.
2 years. We like to keep them 2 year cycles, all of our election stuff. And we can never reuse them.
All right. So if you have any technical background whatsoever, what's just been explained to you is the process is unhackable.
It is, and I can also assure voters that every ballot that I order and send out, I account for.
Right.
There may be some instances we may not, just cannot account for it, but we make notes of it. And if anyone's interested in that, please give me a call, because I am a numbers person, and I like to know, I like things to balance. And our chief judges and judges also have papers they have to balance and account for at the end of the day. We are tired at the time, but but I go back through and we account for every ballot. That is part of our procedures.
Okay. Now, you said you take it and go to your main computer and upload it to where?
I upload it into what we call election night reporting through our state board. So the state board, which you can get on your smartphone now, you can get the results just as quick as I upload them into the election night reporting. It's through our state board website. It's the reporting software.
So you're not uploading directly to local news media or anything like that. It goes to the state board. What happens to the data there? Is there any...
It's posted. We actually have a room we call the show-in room, which is where we vote early. We have a computer ready, and every time, if you have the link to the state board, which is on our website as well, and every time you refresh or we upload, it should be changing.
Okay. Wow. Sounds good. Any other questions anybody have?
The only other question, I believe your... very, very diligent in trying to keep the voter rolls of this county clear. What are the processes that you use yourself to keep the voter rolls clear?
Like after this election, we have off time in the spring unless election's ordered. And that's the time we will really clean our rolls. But what I like to do in my county is I actually will go a little bit above where we will see if we have some duplicates with birthdays or names, just variations in names, but they're the same people because we're human beings, which sometimes are data entries. But we do what's called list maintenance. So if you haven't voted in two federal elections, it rolls you off the list. It does take a little while sometimes to get someone off, but the only way to get a person off of our rolls is if that person asks us in writing to remove them, or they've registered in another North Carolina county, we will get notified. But if they register in another state, they need to tell that state to notify us that they were previously registered in our county. Now, North Carolina, of course, shares data in the county, but they also share data with, I think, about 28 other states now, so we can catch some of those. But and the only that's really the only way, or if they die and we get their death certificate or a near relative tells us they are deceased. Those are the only ways we can remove people, unfortunately. So you can have inactive voters and people on the rolls who don't live at specific addresses. Just because we get mail returned, we still cannot remove them.
Go ahead, Hal.
Well, you know, I've heard recently that the clerks, I didn't even know this till fairly recently, but the clerks of the court also have received death certificates. And then you have people who also who have declined to have serve on court, jury courts, because they're non-citizens, so they say. Then if they turn up as a voter, then there's some fraud involved probably. And what I was wondering is there any way the Board of Elections can cross-check with these other entities that have this information to try to help keep the rolls clear?
Currently not, but our state board does have internal groups, I guess, or offices, people looking into the, as far as non-citizens, they have things that they check. In 2016, they did give us like a list to look for these particular individuals if they came to vote, and we had to handle their votes a little bit differently or explain to them the process that the state board gave us. So they do have checks and balances. I don't know what they are. I'm sorry, I don't know their policies or what they check, but I know that at they notified us of certain people to look for, basically going through the voter rolls and comparing it to some kind of list. But currently, no, we do not share the data with, I mean, we do not get the list from the clerks of courts or anything like that.
Well, Melanie, we sure appreciate the time you've taken to spend with us tonight. Are there any other things you'd like to share? Any new laws or changes in regulations that the voters might be interested in?
I will say this because we get a question a lot, that if you are a felon and you have finished your sentence, and that means probation, sentence, and fines, your rights are restored automatically in North Carolina, but your probation officers are offering you a voter registration. You do have to re-register. In North Carolina, nothing is automatic registration. You have to physically do a paper and sign the statement that you finished all of your sentence, probation, and fines, that your rights have been restored. But if you don't know if your rights have been restored, contact your probation officer or the clerk of courts. But you do have to re-register to be able to vote.
That's good information. All right. Anybody have any further questions?
And I thank you, Rick and CCTA and all of y'all for having us, because I think it's important to educate voters. And like I said, voters do need to take the responsibility to educate on the laws and policies of their states and counties.
All right. And they do need to take an active part in the process. It's a shame that you can't get enough people signed up to work the polls.
And if you would love to work the polls, call us.
What's that number?
It's 636-6610.
636-6610, Craven County Board of Elections, and director is Melanie Ray. And
we do have enough for this election, so you would be on the list for the next.
All right.
But everybody, get out and vote.
Get out and vote. That's important.
It is.
It is your right. Like I said, we have 13,000 people on our rolls who have never voted. Wow. So if you're going to register, you need to vote.
That's right. I agree.
What is the number of registered voters in Craven County? Do you know?
We just got through entering all of our registrations as of the deadline. Before that, it's roughly about 69,000, give or take a few.
In the whole county?
Mm-hmm,
wow.
In our county.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And the percentage of turnout average?
For midterms, it's normally around 44%. I'm predicting 48, and I'm thinking, you know, because of what's happened nationally and maybe on whether the FEMA response or the governmental response to the hurricane victims, that may sway either to vote or not to vote for the certain people. But I'm hoping for at least a 48%. We would love 100%. That would be excellent. Right.
Yeah, I think it's abysmal that the numbers are that low. I mean, people, they've gone out of their way to give you every opportunity and make sure everybody can vote as simply as possible. I mean, you've got early voting, you've got absentee voting, and all of it's been extended, too. So the staff there goes out of their way to give you every opportunity to vote. It's not only your right, I consider it your duty as an American citizen. Hal?
Well, Rick, you just reminded me of another question I was going to ask. I know this staff is working 14 hours a day. Mm-hmm. You have to be during the weekdays. And that's what, how many days is that?
We actually counted it up today with the new uniform voting hours from 7 to 7. Me and my two people, we're three people full-time staff. We have a few part-timers. Starting today, we will be putting in about 14-hour average days for 21 days.
Ouch.
Ooh. And, you know, I've worked a good 12 hours today and took a while to get down there, so I guess you could say 13 hours that volunteers invest in it. And it seems to me like overkill. It really does. It's too expensive and it's too hard on staff, and it's I think it needs to be reduced somehow. So I just wanted to make that comment.
Yeah, we're trying to accommodate to the extremes, and I agree with you. Responsible people, I mean, if you don't pay your light bill on time, what do? They cut your lights off. If you don't register to vote on time, sorry, you had an opportunity, you should have done it.
And as a taxpayer association, a lot of tax money involved in that. I remember one time at Cove City, I think it averaged 3 or 4 voters a day for a long time, and you had the staff there.
Yeah, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to anyway. If you can make it to Mumfest, there's no reason you can't make it to the poll to vote, because it's right there in the same spot, okay? So all those excuses about I can't get down to register or I can't get down to vote, we have to make special accommodations. If you can make it to Mumfest, you can vote.
I just want to make a comment where you've got a 40-something percent turnout. I wonder if the people who complain about our government understand that if they would all turn out and vote, they would be able to change things. But when you have a 40% turnout, that's the 40% that's running things. The other 60%, although they've been given an opportunity to have a voice, doesn't have a voice.
And I will say that every election is important. When I go out and speak at groups and things like this, your municipality town elections may average anywhere from 6% to 12%. That's who affects your pocket first. That's your home.
Yes.
And I always say it should be reversed. Your small towns should be higher than the presidential or the midterms. But then again, they should all be consistent, because everyone should be voting in every election.
Absolutely.
And we have had a number of elections that have been decided by fewer than 10 votes. And folks, your vote does count.
Absolutely.
It does.
It does.
Every vote counts.
Now, in living in New England, New England has town meetings where you might have 4,000 or 5,000 voters, registered voters in a town, but you might have 300 people show up at a town meeting. And the town meeting determines the town's budget for the next year. So in a sense, you have 4,000 people being governed by 300 people who took the time to show up at the town meeting. Voting is not a lot different from that.
That's right. And folks, there are organizations out there, organized groups that spend millions of dollars to try to influence the vote by getting as many people registered as possible and getting them to the polls to vote along their party lines or vote their values for different reasons. So it is important that you get out and vote. It's important for everybody to vote. because we all have a say, and we're the only country in the world that gives you this opportunity like that.
And I'll also say, if you're approached to, for someone to register you to vote, please ask their name, what organization they're working for, because there are people out there that we may not get your voter registration. If you have any doubts, call us or come and register and vote with us.
That's right, because they may just be collecting your information.
They may, but there are some credible groups out there that are registering people. But you don't have to register that way.
Right.
Ask questions. That's what they're there for. Ask who they are, and if you know, we don't go out and do that and set up registration drives unless we are clearly marked who we are. And people can't represent themselves as us or state board members. So ask questions, or call me, and we'll go check it out. But we want you to get registered. But the more importantly, we want you to vote,
and to spend the time to find out about the candidates. Correct. Please.
Yes. Okay. Well, I tried to dismiss you a little while ago. but there were so many questions now that we have got to the limit of time that we have for today's show. So, Melanie, I'm going to thank you once again.
You're doing
a great job, and we appreciate your service. And we look forward to you getting some rest after election day.
Thank you.
Well, that's all the time for our show today. Thank you for joining us for CCTA Wake Up Call. Please come back and join us again next week.
People who learn to do something well and do it often get very good at it. Dr. Jay Singleton and his staff spend a lot of time removing cataracts, and they are good at it. Dr. Singleton has been doing a high volume of these procedures for 15 years. Let's face it, once we turn 50, the chances are we'll soon need cataract surgery. Fortunately, the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern, and the state-of-the-art Singleton Surgery Center is bringing costs down for patients and participating insurance companies. For dedication, experience, and convenience, you can trust the Singleton team. Dr. Jay Singleton and the Singleton Vision Center is conveniently located at 3515 Trent Road in New Bern.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
At Professional Auto Service, keeping vehicles in top form and running well isn't just their business. It's the passion of folks who work there. If baling wire and duct tape is good enough, don't go near them. But if you take pride in your vehicle and reliability is important, go to 2215 Country Club Road in New Bern and let Professional Auto take care of your vehicle. You'll be pleased. That's Professional Auto Service, Country Club Road, New Bern.
The CCTA truly appreciates their sponsors because their support makes it possible for Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association to bring all of you Wake Up Call every Sunday. Those sponsors include Professional Auto Services on Country Club Road in New Bern, Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutrition consultant, Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend, and S&D Gun and Knife Shows. Other great supporters are RightWingGranny.com with a unique perspective on the news, B&J Seafood on US 70 in New Bern, the North Carolina Fisheries Association, Baldwin Transmission and Auto Repair on Highway 17 South in New Bern, and Redfish Seafood Market, Highway 55 Grantsboro. Also, the County Compass, serving Pamlico, Beaufort, Craven, and Carteret counties. Dr. J. Singleton, Moore's Old Time Barbecue, Responsible Security LLC, and Oriental Dragon Boat Races. Tune in for the CCTA Wake-Up Call every Sunday on the Talk Station, FM 107 and AM 1240.